Ann Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A New Jersey imam has died following an early morning shooting.
Newark imam Hassan Sharif shot near his mosque in Newark and taken just blocks away to a local hospital where police say he died. Neighbors say the mosque is well known and considered sacred in the area.
Absolutely, it's surprising. And it's sad.
Authorities are investigating and have been on heightened alert at area religious sites due to the war between Israel and Hamas in the Middle East. But so far, no word on any connection. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Two U.S. officials tell ABC News that Israel was behind a drone strike that killed a senior Hamas leader Tuesday in Beirut. But the U.S. was not alerted before the operation. House Speaker Mike Johnson leading a group of Republicans to the Texas border today and on Capitol Hill. Talks continue in the Senate on a bipartisan deal to fund border security that's included in an aid package for Ukraine and Israel. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat this morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat today. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A woman was arrested following a stabbing attack that sent a man to a hospital in Duluth. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers responded to a domestic call around 5:30 on Tuesday evening near the Union Gospel Mission on East 1st Street. When they arrived on the scene, they found a man with multiple stab wounds and transported him to a nearby hospital. Shortly after, a 38-year-old woman was taken into custody and transported to the St. Louis County Jail. The case remains under investigation. Under new state law, Wisconsin winery owners will be allowed to stay open until 2 a.m. instead of 9 p.m. In addition to allowing wineries to stay open later, the new bill will also allow them to open more than one location and serve hard alcohol. Winery owners have been pushing for the bill for a long time and are excited that their venues can offer customers more services and even add things like more live music, comedy shows, and parties. Some have even seen an uptick in requests to host events in anticipation of the law going into effect. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Badgers beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a conference win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Max Klesmit on how valuable Kamari McGee was as a substitute in the game.
Having a guy like that can come off the bench and spark it, life into us, I think carried over the second half big time. And, you know, that's a credit to Cam and just how much he works, keeps his head down, doesn't let the naysayers, you know, get to him or what other the outside noise says. He's really focused individual, and I'm super proud of him the way he's handled himself.
The Badgers have now won 3 in a row. Head coach Greg Gard.
And that's the neat part about watching a team come together. As a coach, you can't orchestrate everything. A lot of that chemistry has to be organic. This group has got some good things going.
NFL former Packers center Ken Bowman has died. Bowman played 10 seasons for Green Bay from 1964 to 1973, including 3 NFL championships. Bowman snapped the ball to Bart Starr on his quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl. Kenny Bowman was 81. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. It's 27 degrees at our studios.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. See you on the lines. I'll get to you in a second. I want to finish up my prior thought. Why does this presidential preference committee get to meet at all? Because the law in Wisconsin is that any party that got 10% or more in the last gubernatorial election can designate which of their candidates in these upcoming elections should be on the primary ballot. And there are only two parties in Wisconsin that got 10% or more in the last governor ballot, and that was the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Does that mean that somebody else can't get on the ballot if they want to? Does that mean that Dean Phillips and Marianne Williamson and, you know, I suppose if Tim Scott changed his mind and wanted to get back in, could he do it? Yeah, they can do it. They can do it by getting signatures. They don't need any signatures if the Presidential Selection Committee puts them on the ballot. The problem is that the Republicans changed the law, made it very difficult to get the signatures. And why is that? Because they have to get 8,000 signatures from the eight congressional districts, 1,000 from each. Now, in the old days, and even now, if you want to run statewide, you only have to get 1,000 signatures for Senate or governor even. Although normally you turn in 2,000 so that you're covered. And they may have increased that to 2,000, then it's 4,000. But to get 8,000 signatures with 1,000 from each congressional district is a very, very tough task, and you'd absolutely need good organization. So effectively, it kind of squeezes people out. So what you're going to see on the ballot, unless something happens with these signatures, in the spring, April 2nd, the primary, six candidates who are Republicans, and Joe Biden, our president, Democrat. Going to the lines, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's in your mind today?
Well, the Supreme Court situation, Matt, you know, with should they, shouldn't they, toss them off. It's strictly, in my mind, a law, period. And yes, they should. And guess who else would agree with it? Trump himself. In 2016, when he ran against Hillary Clinton, there's all kinds of audio of him during speeches when he's calling her Crooked Hillary and all this ranting and raving, saying she's not qualified to be on the ballot because she's being investigated. Never mind the fact that investigated is a little different than indicted or being, 91 felony charges. But he constantly said that when he was out on the stump in 16. So, you know, show that to the MAGA groups. It's in his own words. Make him eat his own words. I mean, it's right there for everybody to see, just like the stuff from January 6th. Just go look at the film.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, because he did do that. And in addition, what he didn't disclose, Dick, was that he was being investigated, too, on the Russia connection. And Comey stuck a knife in Hillary He's supposed to keep his mouth shut because you don't say something like that in the middle of an election. He did it. Comey, by the way, is and was a Republican. He only turned on Trump after he told Trump about the Steele dossier and about the coprophile allegations of the strange sexual practices that Putin had on video in the hotel room. And then Trump got mad at him. He was a Trump supporter, which is why he did that. And the thing that really kills me is he shouldn't have done it with Hillary, but he was investigating Trump at the same time, and he didn't disclose that. He betrayed the country. Comey is no damn good, just so you were clear about how I think about him anyway. Okay, well, guess what? Guess what? The Homeland Security Committee is going to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary for Homeland Security, and then they're going to refer it out to the House, and it will pass. He will be impeached. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind. And right now, by the way, you know, we talked about Mike Johnson before. Mike Johnson right now is down at the border, basically causing trouble, not doing anything constructive. You know, what he could do would be to produce a bill that would give aid to the border, hire more agents, pay them well, get them the resources they need, give aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, and put that through. That's what he could do. No, he isn't doing that. Flew down on a private plane, and he and a bunch of other Republican yahoos are at the border just posing for pictures, you know, going tisk, tisk, doing nothing. Put in an immigration bill. Put it in with all the poison pills you want. Just show what you stand for. They don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because even going back to 2016, Mitch McConnell, who in those days was called Moscow Mitch, now he's sort of mellowed a little bit, said, we don't have a platform. A platform can only get you in trouble. People can make fun of it, say that's terrible, hold you to it. Why don't we try not having a platform? I was on the Democratic Party Platform Committee several times. I was on the committee back before I was party chairman, a long time ago. And we'd sit and we'd argue about things, and we were very specific, and we put in these detailed platforms. The Republicans back then in the 70s and 80s put in a kind of a nasty, sad little platform. Wasn't real specific. Even back then, they understood that if they stood for anything, they'd lose. But at least they put something in and called it a platform. If you want to read the party platforms, you can get the blue book. And it used to be that the legislatures would give free copies out, get them in a library. You can probably get them online right now. And you can see what the Democratic and Republican Party platforms are, except, by the way, the Republican Party does not have a platform at the national level because they frequently betrayed it. Frequently, whatever they said looked terrible because it is terrible. Well, right now, they are down on the border, posing for pictures, saying this is terrible, it's Biden's fault, not lifting a finger, not funding anything, shutting down the government, shutting down the government. Now, here's how this is going to work. The statement they put out on the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas is, quote, we will be conducting hearings and taking up those articles of impeachment within the coming weeks. Makes it sound on the up and up. Makes it sound like they're doing some work. They're not doing work. They're lazy as hell. Most of them taking this week off. But next January 10, Wednesday of next week, they are going to start these hearings. And this is simply a political show, like the Benghazi hearings against Hillary Clinton, just to hopefully get some television and just say, this is all Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas' fault. Now, when these hearings are done, it's going to be done pretty quickly. There's no doubt in my mind that they are going to then recommend impeachment, articles of impeachment, to the entire House. That's what they have to do. The committee can't impeach all by itself. Here are the charges that they're talking about. Alejandro Mayorkas is guilty, and this is great, egregious misconduct and refusal to enforce the law. Now, wait a minute. Remember that with Janet Protasiewicz, when they were going to impeach her, and then they backed off, they chickened out. She hadn't even done anything. And in Wisconsin, you can't impeach somebody and remove them from office unless they committed a criminal act or fraud in the office. She hadn't even taken office. So they had a bit of a problem. Well, here with this character, Mike Johnson, egregious misconduct is a nose of wax. It's whatever it is. You have the statue, it's made out of wax. You push its nose inch to the left, inch to the right, whatever you want egregious misconduct to be. Refusal to enforce the law. There are no border agents who are refusing to enforce the law. None of them. None of them. They're doing their best with insufficient manpower, insufficient resources, and people swarming up. It's going to take a change in the law. And that is something that the Republican Party has resisted. It's resisted for years now because they milk this issue. They milk the issue. So stand by. You will see, you absolutely will see, in my judgment, these hearings starting on the 10th next week. And then shortly after that, you're going to see Mayorkas impeached. Okay, it doesn't matter who the Homeland Secretary is. With the resources he has and the laws, they are in the books. There's only so much that he can do. And that's what is going to be at issue. And again, it's simply, well, the heck with funding the government. The heck with funding the patrol at the border. Why don't we instead put a hold in the Senate on Defense Department and our defense, and why don't we in the House just impeach everybody? Remember something. They already passed a law that said that his salary will be $1 a year and Lloyd Austin's will be $1 a year and a number of the other cabinet members, $1 a year. Now, why is it that they are not, in fact, being paid $1 a year? Because that had to be passed in the Senate as well. Chuck Schumer laughed, stuck it in a drawer. And if it had gone to Biden, he would have vetoed it. Then it would have taken a two-thirds override. And I can picture two-thirds of the Congress and the Senate saying that Lloyd Austin should get $1 a year. This is the kind of stuff they do. Do you understand that? They fight for a month on their speaker. They're not conservative enough while they pass no bills. They pass legislation with a lot of discussion to cut the wages of cabinet members who are Democrats to $1 a year. Waste a lot of time. It ain't going anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. And now with Mayorkas impeaching them, and they're going to impeach Joe Biden, for what? So that they can go into this election and say, well, it's a horse apiece. They impeached our guy. We impeached their guy. You know, if that makes you uneasy, don't vote. All of the data shows that when that happens, the Republicans gain, because the people who don't vote typically are people who would have voted Democratic. And that is the sad situation. Coming up, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says that hospitals don't have to provide care to a woman even if her life is in danger. You won't believe this decision. Coming up.
Long time, run on. For a long time, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gone.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Mifflin Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is a unanimous decision that just came down from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's down in the South. Federal Appellate Court, just below the U.S. Supreme Court. All of the federal appellate courts are the courts just below the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is one of them, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, Chicago, that I clerked on, was the same. But the Fifth Circuit covers states like Texas. They just ruled, and this was unbelievable to me, on a 1986 statute. Let me tell you what the statute provides. Statute provided that hospitals, especially when they get federal funding, which they all do, hospitals have to provide abortion services if the life of the mother is at risk. Doesn't matter what other laws there are, one way or the other. If the mother's life is at risk, they have to provide abortion services. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, three judges unanimously just decided that that statute can't be used to require emergency care if the mother's life is at risk. Now, you know, enough's enough. You have Texas with the snitch bounty and all this, and you have all sorts of disputes and divisions. If a mother's life is at risk, we're guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And life is the first word in that phrase. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is unthinkable that a federal court would rule that if her life is at risk, the hospital doesn't have to do anything. That is wrong. That is morally wrong, absolutely morally wrong. And will the Supreme Court overturn it? It has the power to. Will the six tarantulas overturn it? We'll see if there's an appeal. But the other thing with these cases is, appeals take time, and a woman in that circumstance does not have time. Go to the lines. Eric of Reedsburg, thanks for calling. Eric, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good, thanks. So, what's up?
Switching gears a little bit, back on to the immigration problem here. My all question right, would up? Be, for all these migrants that are coming in, and people like DeSantis and Abbott are putting these people on planes and flying them to other cities, with all the bad terrorists and all the terrible, terrible people that are coming, how do they pass the checkpoints to get on these planes?
You know, Eric, you should be, are you a lawyer? You should be a lawyer. That's very good. The reason they get on the checkpoints and the planes, and I don't think they are all terrorists, but you're right. There have been people on the watch list who have slipped through. There have been, they catch them, and you think, could others just slip through? I don't know, but statistically it's probable. How do they get on a plane without an ID, right? You and I can't do it. And the answer is, these are private planes. It's not like that they're just going down and they're going, going up to the Delta, the United desk, and, you know, booking a flight. That isn't what's happening. What happens is that the governments of these states, Florida and Texas in particular, but Arizona too, did do it before the Democrat, but Texas is the one. The state will hire, rent a plane, they'll lease a plane, or they use a state plane, or they'll lease one. And these migrants are bused to an airfield, and it's not like Mitchell Field. It's not a normal airfield that does passenger traffic, and the plane takes off. You know, you're not carded when you fly in a private plane. One of the weaknesses in our FAA system, and I've flown on private planes and as a passenger for legal cases, that kind of thing, and you just walk up and you get on. So there is not, absolutely is not, scrutiny on how you get on a private plane. Sadly, in a sense, because if somebody wants to commit another terror act like 9/11, they could try to do that. Now, they have to file a flight plan. They have to identify themselves, and there's a lot of that, those kinds of checks and balances. But that's how they do it. Abbott, Greg Abbott, I do not know if he uses a state plane, or I do not know if he, you know, has a donor or the state out of taxpayer money just rents a large passenger plane and just buses them on, and they don't have to show any ID at all. None at all. And so something, in my view, has got to give on this. Congress is in a deadlock. There has been a call for Joe Biden to do it by executive order. A lot of that comes from Mike Johnson, who is trying to get him to do things that'll help Donald Trump. Joe Biden has signaled to Chuck Schumer in the Senate that he wants them to do a deal that involves greater border security. He's already signaled that. The holdup is going to be in the House. Schumer has sat down with Mitch McConnell, and they are close to agreeing. That's the latest word. Schumer issued that statement earlier this morning. They're close to agreement. They're all in agreement on Israel and Ukraine aid, and they're close to agreement on much more strict enforcement of the border in return for money to put it into effect and hire the agents, more agents. That is very close to fruition in the Senate. The problem is, and this gets back to the first topic we talked about at the beginning of the last hour, when it gets to the House, you have at least 30 people in the Freedom Caucus, maybe 40, and you certainly have 10 who are sociopaths, and all of them will injure the United States to injure Biden. They won't vote for it. That means that Mike Johnson has got to get Democratic votes to vote for it. And like on the continuing resolution, there were more Democrats that voted for it than Republicans. Remember, that's the one that kicked the can down the road to January 19 and February 2nd. And that got, as far as I remember, it got something like 200 Democratic votes, and it got like 160 or 70 Republican votes. That has to be done again. Mike Johnson has to step up to the plate. Warts and all, he has to step up to the plate. But when he does that this time, I think one of the sociopaths is going to declare the chair vacant. And by the way, that rule has got to change. That can't just be the Republican Party. There has got to be a rule that covers the whole Congress that says it takes 20 or 30% of the Congress to say the chair is vacant, not one sociopath. But that's what it is right now. So one sociopath will call the chair vacant, and then there'll be a vote. And Mike Johnson has to figure out how many votes he has to get these kinds of bipartisan things through. And if he figures out, I can only get 150 or 160 Republican votes to stay on his chair, or 200 or whatever it is, he's got to go to the Democrats, and this time they've got to give him the votes to stay in. As much as I don't like the guy, you cannot continue to go along and not funding the government. You can't just continue to do that. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and then Trump or Biden is about to give a speech I'll tell you about, where he lays it to Trump as a fascist and as an enemy of democracy.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More babies were born in Wisconsin in the year and a half no abortions were performed in the state. The IZA Institute of Labor Economics says Wisconsin's birth rate went up 2.5% while Planned Parenthood paused abortions. Abortions resumed after a Madison judge ruled that consensual abortions are legal in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's minimum wage remains at $7.25, while 22 other states raised their baseline pay this week. Economists say raising the minimum wage can actually be good for a business's bottom line.
There's actually a payoff that employers are receiving because while they've raised the wage, they're also reducing costs associated with turnover and open positions that they can't fill.
Laura Dresser studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. 2023 was a record year for attendance at the Great Lakes Aquarium in Duluth. Aquarium officials announced a record 214,533 people visited in 2023, an increase of about 14,000 visitors over 2022. The unseasonably warm winter may have played a big role in the increase, with a 50% jump in attendance this December as traditional winter activities struggled with the lack of snow. The aquarium is also planning a new exhibit for 2024 to attract even more residents. A bomb threat shut down the Minnesota State Capitol on Wednesday morning. Authorities say the bomb threat was emailed to a number of state capitals across the country, and out of an abundance of caution, Minnesota State Patrol Capitol Security closed the building and conducted multiple searches. After no threatening or suspicious items were found, the Capitol was reopened. Capitol Security also increased its presence in the building throughout the rest of the day, and the situation is being monitored. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Badgers beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a conference win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Max Klesmit on how valuable Kamari McGee was as a substitute in the game.
Having a guy like that can come off the bench and spark it, life into us, I think carried over the second half big time. And, you know, that's a credit to Cam and just how much he works, keeps his head down, doesn't let the naysayers, you know, get to him or what other the outside noise says. He's really focused individual, and I'm super proud of him, the way he's handled himself.
The Badgers have now won three in a row. Head coach Greg Gard.
And that's the neat part about watching a team come together. As a coach, you can't orchestrate everything. A lot of that chemistry has to be organic. This group has got some good things going.
NFL former Packers center Ken Bowman has died. Bowman played 10 seasons for Green Bay from 1964 to 1973, including three NFL championships. Bowman snapped the ball to Bart Starr on his quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl. Kenny Bowman was 81. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. It's 27 degrees at our studios.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Biden's going to give a major speech. I'm looking forward to it. It's on the anniversary of January 6th, the insurrection. And the anniversary, and it's going to be in Valley Forge. Now, Valley Forge, remember from American history, where George Washington's heroic stand against the British, a lot of significance in the general Philadelphia area. He's going to speak there. Looking forward to the speech. And then a few days later, he's going to speak down in South Carolina in that church that was a terrible thing where that white supremacist went in and gunned down a number of people. Remember that a couple of years ago? He's going to speak there. Joe Biden is simply the most experienced president we've ever had in foreign policy and, frankly, in governance. And I am very, very grateful that he's the president. He and Trump both gave New Year's Eve speeches, New Year's Eve statements, and you will not believe, well, you'll believe what Joe said. You're not going to believe what Trump said. But before we get to that, I'm going to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I just wanted to bring you up to speed. I'm not sure if you saw the news as far as how elections matter and voting matters. Thanks to having Judge Janik on the court, they just came down with a ruling that absentee ballots, that if a ballot doesn't have full information, that in and of itself is not a disqualifier. For example, it used to be, and the Republicans championed this, if I put on my, an absentee ballot, if I put my first name or the initial of my first name with my last name and then my full address, because I didn't put my full name on that ballot, that's missing information. According to Republicans, that's an invalid vote. If I just put my last name and I didn't put my first name, that's missing information, and according to Republicans, that's an invalid vote. Well, the court just ruled that, no, that's not the way it works, that information like that is still considered a valid ballot. And the only reason why that has been the case is because of the elections that we've been having. So people, get out there and vote. It matters. It makes a difference. And you're seeing it within our democracy today. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tom. Yeah, I did see that case. And you're right. What the Republicans were doing, that if you didn't perfectly write down what your address was in your name, even though as obvious as the nose on your face that you gave the full information, they would disqualify the ballot because they found that in the long run that disqualified more Democratic ballots than other ballots. But you're right. You can put your first initial, then your full last name and address. What happens if you don't put a zip code down? Or what if you put your name, your address, and say Milwaukee, but don't put a zip code down? Or that kind of thing. Or what if you put a zip code, but no town? I mean, all of this stuff, they would nitpick. They'd have all these gimlet-eyed people with the green eye shades sitting there going, well, we'll throw this one out and that one out. And they especially like to do it in areas of high Democratic turnout. So if you start throwing votes out in Dane County and in Milwaukee County, but you're not throwing votes out in, say, Waukesha County or Washington County, just statistically, you're benefiting the Republican Party. This was a common sense solution. The Supreme Court isn't saying you don't have to comply with the law, but what they're saying is there's a thing called substantial compliance. And that's true with nomination papers. Some people will, I'll put my name I'll sign it, my name for a candidate, my address. And under Milwaukee, I'll put, two lines indicating that it's the same as the one before. So you'll see Milwaukee at the top and then /////// the rest of the page. That is sufficient. That shows that you mean Milwaukee. Well, when it's in this context, you can't do that, but you can, if you don't put down the full first name, if you don't have a zip code or something, as long as they can figure out that it's you, that's what it is. And that's just terrific. So thanks very, very much, Tom, for a great call. Well, Biden is going to give the speech. January 6th, and then a few days later, Trump is going to give a speech somewhere right at the same time. In Iowa, his campaign said that one of the Iowa papers couldn't attend. Then they corrected themselves at the end when they took a lot of heat over it. The guy's playing games, but here's what they said. This is their New Year's speech. What Biden says was a beautiful speech. It was a statement, really, not a speech, but he said, the economy's doing great, created 14 million jobs, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. America's optimistic. We're standing by our allies. Great, great talk. What you expect of a president? Here's what Trump said, and I'm reading this. This is unbelievable. Trump, for New Year's, this is his statement, quote, I would like to wish an early New Year's salutation to crooked Joe Biden and his group of radical left misfits and the thugs on their attempt to destroy our nation through invasion and rigged elections. Look, for four more years, I do not want to hear these Christmas and New Year speeches anymore. I mean, his Easter speech one time was just made the hair on your neck stand up. The guy is losing his marbles. Nobody running for president keeps flogging a dead horse there about rigged elections and calling everybody crooked. The reason he does that is because he himself is crooked. The old adage with fascism in the 30s in Italy and the 40s with the 20s in Italy and the 20s, 30s, and 40s in Germany was you accuse your opponent of what you did or how you are and make it even worse and then repeat it stridently forever and ever. You will get a number of people who will believe it. And a number of other people shrug their shoulders and say, well, that sounds terrible, but that guy was terrible too. Maybe they're both terrible. And then they stay home. That is the idea. The other thing I want to say is take a look at those two statements, Biden and Trump. Biden's statement and his speeches reiterate themes he's been talking about for a long time. He does it articulately, and he's based on solid fact. What Trump is doing is partly sociopath, but it's partly dementia. I mean, it's dementia. You get angry like this just because it's New Year's Eve, and you go, quote, I would like to wish an early New Year's salutation to crooked Joe Biden and his group of radical left misfits and thugs on their attempt to destroy our nation through invasion. What do you mean invasion? And rigged elections. That's incoherent. That is incoherent. It's wrong. And this guy shouldn't be running for president. However, the opposition in the Republican primary is so weak. You know, people say, oh, well, nobody could beat him. I don't know about that. DeSantis can't beat him. Trying to run to his right, trying to knife Ukraine like Trump does just for the heck of it. He lost a lot of people when he did that. They were looking for more, you know, Ronald Reagan or John Kennedy's statement of standing up for our allies, and they didn't get it from this guy. And frankly, they're never going to get it from this guy. Nikki Haley, are you kidding me? I mean, Nikki Haley, what's the Civil War about? Well, it was about, I don't know what it was about. Could it have anything to do with the fact that South Carolina fired at Fort Sumter and you want to get into nasty things? You know, I don't know what it is. There is a discussion, and this is more than discussion, that Trump's strategy at his upcoming trial is a MAGA freak show. And then I'll get to the lines. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. He is planning a MAGA freak show in the D.C. trial before Tanya Chutkan. Bogus conspiracy theories. He's going to get up and say he wants to subpoena Nancy Pelosi to blame her for January 6th. He wants to disclose classified intelligence, which will jeopardize our agents. And then he wants to make allegations that China and Hezbollah are behind Joe Biden because Russia was behind him. And he's going to rant at the judge for election interference. That's what he's planning to do. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the information you just provided. It's really important to understand what the game plan is of this guy. And I did want to make a comment, too, about Mark's call in an earlier hour where he was pointing out the fact that Mike Johnson is a Baptist and seems to be kind of ignorant of what the history was of the people who followed the Baptist religion. As you look at our country, they were just not allowed in certain colonies, and they were jailed for their beliefs. And that he is so willfully ignorant about this it's daunting. It's daunting to understand that this person who is a Speaker of State or Speaker of our House is just so presumably ignorant. I wanted to ask you a legal question, Matt, about an issue that you just brought up that had to do with the Fifth Circuit Court, as I understand it, ruling that it is hospitals are not required to provide abortion care to women who are facing a life-threatening emergency. They ruled that that was not required and that they could thus deprive the woman of her right to an abortion, saying that that just too bad, you know, go die in the parking lot, I guess. My question to you is there's something, and I don't quite know this or understand it. It's called the deprivation of rights under the color of law. And it says that Title 18242 makes it a crime for a judge or an official acting under the color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or U.S. law. Wouldn't the right to life guaranteed by the Constitution be a place to start to sue the judges of this particular court if someone loses their relative to this decision? Can you talk this through a little bit more? It's called, again, the deprivation of rights under the color of law, and it's a crime for a judge or official acting under the color of law to deprive a person or right of a privilege guaranteed by the Constitution. What are your thoughts on that, Matt? I really appreciate your help in this matter.
Yeah, great question. And I want to say to other people on the line, I see you. I'll get back to you right away. Do not hang up, but that's an important question I want to handle for Joe. And then we're going to briefly cut away and come back. The statute 42 USC section 1983 says that it provides a civil remedy as well. And that was called the Ku Klux Klan statute. It was passed during Reconstruction when people were going around the South murdering black people. The problem with using it here is there already is a statute. It was passed in 1986 that says these hospitals must provide if the woman's life is in danger. And the Fifth Circuit says, go die in the parking lot. You put it. I mean, I can't believe this, quite frankly. We're talking life. I think some of these judges don't understand medicine, but who cares? They're not doctors. But the point of the matter is, if a woman has sepsis or a woman has an ectopic pregnancy and could die, even Texas law, but not Idaho and Oklahoma law, but Texas law, so they can have abortion. But then the attorney general down there will disagree that it was life-threatening and sue the doctor. This is what's happening. And you can't sue a judge. They have complete immunity, sadly, for anything. Now, if they pull out a gun and shoot somebody, yes. But for any decision they make, sadly, you can't. Excellent, excellent question, and thank you. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, we have a little time before we cut away for a bit. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, I just wanted to go back. It's not as important as the previous question, but I just wanted to go back a bit to the discussion on immigration. First thing is that since about 2015, Republicans have been screaming, oh, watch out for these thousands of illegals that are going to run across the Texas border.
Yeah, Jack, hold on. Calvin, keep Jack on the line. Jack, stay on the line. We're going to cut away very briefly, but I want to finish this discussion. Do not hang up. And coming up, we're going to talk to Jack, and then we are also going to talk about a decision where Michael Cohen now cannot sue Donald Trump, believe it or not. I'll explain.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're right back to Jack of Merrimack. Jack, please continue with your comments. I thought they were very good.
All right. Well, the second thing that I wanted to say is, of course, the quote-unquote illegals, whatever that means, aren't coming to steal your jobs. And the the fact that we have probably the lowest unemployment rate, certainly in decades, if not in, you know, not ever, just belies that statement. Second thing is, this so-called border issue, this is again part of the Republican. They cut budgets, and then all of a sudden the government doesn't work as well as it should, and oh, it's the Democrats' fault. No, it's not. You guys cut the money out, and you're trying to blame the Democrats for what you've done. And unfortunately, all of the major news outlets seem to go along with this bull. I'll keep the rest of that statement off the air because the FCC might object. The third thing is, if anybody deserves impeachment for this or for other border problems, it's got to be the Republicans who were in office from 2016 to 2018, who literally did absolutely nothing about the so-called border problem when they had majorities in both houses of Congress and the presidency. And they didn't ask to do anything at all about it. And now all of a sudden it's a problem, but it didn't seem to be then. So, this is part of the con artists that these Republicans have become. And the biggest problem we've got is that even the major news outlets, when there are large numbers of people gathered at the border, by golly, those news outlets are all down there. But there's nobody that is going to Congress and saying, hey, you guys are in charge in the House right now. You could do something about this, but you're not. Why aren't you? This is an issue we've got. Right. What Joe Biden has done is a lot of good stuff. That's not publicized sufficiently. The bull that the Republicans keep on preaching is all you ever hear. And I'm disgusted with it, frankly. If people are disgusted with the news outlets, well, I'm not really with the objective ones. The problem is getting those objective news outlets to tell the whole truth instead of just what they constantly are bombarded with by this Republican group of crazies. So that's the end of my rant for today.
Excellent call, Jack. You nailed it on the head, as you always do. Thank you. Thanks very much for calling. I want to also go back to Joe of Madison and add a couple of things, because there was a request for the legal opinion. You can't sue judges. The reason you can't sue judges is, if you think about it, if a judge says something from the bench that's unflattering to the criminal defendant or someone, if you said they could be sued, they could be sued for libel. They could be sued for torts. Then you'd have to defend them. The attorney general or somebody would have to defend them, or they have to, and you'd have trials within trials. So you can't, you don't do it. So the way they solve that is to say, judges have complete immunity, complete immunity. I've had clients come up to me in my practice and say, okay, I want to sue the DA. I want to sue the judge. And my advice always is you can't, you really can't, because, they are performing a function. If they do it badly, they should be impeached or they should be removed from office. Or if they're elected, they shouldn't be reelected, but you can't sue them. So what Joe was describing, because this is a really dangerous decision, quite frankly, a very serious decision, to say that despite a 1986 statute that the Congress passed, and Reagan was the president back then, so he had to have signed it in 1986, to say that, well, okay, the Congress and the president at the time said that hospitals must provide medical care if a woman's life is in danger. But we say now, no. Now, I haven't read the decision. I assume they're leaning on Dobbs, but they may not even be doing that. It could just be right out of thin air because they're zealots. They're doctrinaire. The Fifth Circuit is the most conservative circuit in the country, the most conservative. Some people say the 11th Circuit, which covers Florida and that area, but that's nowhere near as bad as the Fifth Circuit. And so you have states like Oklahoma and Idaho who don't permit abortions even to save the life of the mother. That, to me, has got to be unconstitutional, but that hasn't been tested in the U.S. Supreme Court. Texas has a provision that if the life of the mother is at stake, that an abortion is permitted, but the problem is, who decides that? It's a factual matter. Who decides that her life is at stake rather than just her health? And they use that distinction, believe it or not. And so you would think, well, how about a doctor? That would be a good idea. But you remember, there was the Texas Supreme Court said a woman couldn't have an abortion when her doctor said it was needed because they hadn't put it under oath or something like that, and she went to another state. When you require someone to engage in time-consuming litigation, it's not only expensive, but given the human body, time is dangerous. You can't spend a lot of time on these things. It shouldn't be this way at all. Dobbs is the wrong decision. But now we're faced with what we're faced with, and the fact that the Fifth Circuit said that even if a woman's life is in danger, the hospital doesn't have to provide that service despite the statute is wrong. It's immoral. It's got to be appealed. But the problem is the appeal is going to be to the six tarantulas. That's the problem. It's a very real problem. So be aware of that. And that's why, in my judgment, that Dobbs has got to be overturned either by act of Congress, although they could still come back in and say, we're the Supreme Court. And we rule, they're basically a lawless Supreme Court, and they're setting up all of these impediments that are absolutely wrong. Now, I said earlier, we don't have a ton of time, but a court just came down and said Michael Cohen can't sue Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump had him thrown back in jail because he was going to write a book bad about Trump. There's a terrible decision as well. Coming to the end of the show, great show, great callers as always. Great call. Stay by for another great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. And in the meantime, I'm signing off for today.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.